This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Coming up, we'll talk about so-called intellectual property, specifically in the area of software patents. Chris is here with ThinkPenguin.com and the new show Freedom Decrypted over at FreedomDecrypted.com. And you'll be telling us all about it, because you know a thing or two about software.
Yeah, I would say I do.
So we're getting into that shortly. But first, I want to finish up the story about Julian Assange. For those of you just tuning in, there's been a dramatic increase, apparently, in just the last year, ever since the Ecuadorian embassy instructed Julian Assange in early 2018. You may recall the headlines that he was no longer allowed to make public political statements while in the care of the Ecuadorian embassy, which,
right.
As you may or may not know, Julian Assange is the head of WikiLeaks, one of the most probably relevant and important websites to release all kinds of classified documents on all manner of governments around the world, not just the U.S.
Right.
government, but obviously we hear more about the leaks regarding the U.S. government. And WikiLeaks, they targeted him. Various governments have been coming after him, and he got some asylum, basically, from the Ecuadorians, but was never able to actually escape from the United Kingdom, so he had to escape into the Ecuadorian embassy.
Yes.
Eventually, the government of, I think it was Sweden, that was looking for him, they dropped the charges that they were looking for him for.
Yes.
Which were a bunch of trumped-up nonsense in the first place, from what I understood. But anyway, those are off the table, but that's apparently that has not resulted in him leaving the embassy, because he's now concerned that the U.S. government is going to have the U.K. government extradite him over to the U.S. To face some sort of conspiracy
wasn't
charge.
Wasn't there actually evidence of that happening leaked or
they wanted
revealed?
You mean?
No, the United States government actually.
There was, you're right. There was a court document.
There was evidence of that finally that came out.
Yeah,
so they did actually want to extradite him.
There's a court document that was accidentally filed in a different case,
yes.
A criminal case for a different defendant, where they used the name Assange in a motion to the court regarding the sealing of a case or unsealing the case, and so it looked like the U.S.
I think it was to seal the case.
So it looked like the U.S. attorneys who wrote that document had copied from a document where they'd filed the same document, basically, a sealing of some sort, in a Julian Assange-related case.
Yes.
And they forgot to change the name. So
yep.
That was the indicator that, there might actually be something in process against Assange in the U.S.
There have been people claiming that Assange might be charged with treason, which would be very interesting.
Considering he's not a citizen?
Considering that he is not now, nor has he ever been a U.S. citizen.
Right.
And I don't know if he's ever actually been
in the U.S.
In the U.S.
I mean, wouldn't that be like espionage, not treason?
Well, don't give them ideas. I'm sure they'll come up with something, and it ultimately won't matter if they can get their hands on.
Yeah, I mean
you're
that's
right.
What they want.
It's going to make for an interesting case, regardless.
They want to get their hands on him and throw him into a cell,
right.
And put him in 24-hour lights on, solitary confinement, just like they did with Chelsea Manning,
yep.
And basically putting him in a torture chamber, essentially. So a little bit more here. I wanted to finish up the story from the GatewayPundit.com. This is written by Cassandra Fairbanks, and Ms. Fairbanks says she had visited Assange last year before the new restrictions were put into place on him not being able to make public political statements, and now it's a completely different situation. Before, she just reached out to Assange and his attorney. They said, come on by. She came on by and, was able to go and meet with him. Now it's this ridiculous process of application and passports and photos and, all kind of nonsense to actually get approved to even come into the embassy in the first place. Searched on the way in, required to give up information about her cell phone, so she just left that at home. And then when she gets in there, They're surrounded by cameras, more cameras in the hallways, more cameras in every room. She tried to have a conference with him in a conference room, just surrounded by cameras. They tried to go in a different room. There might have been fewer cameras there. An aide from the Ecuadorian embassy comes in and demands that they go back to the main room with more of the cameras in it. So they ended up just passing notes to one another because that was the most anonymous way for them to actually right. transact. She says, if we value the principle of freedom of speech, we must do something to stop this madness. While we don't know what Assange has been charged with by the U.S. as it remains under seal, we do know that it is related to his work as a publisher, the only publisher with a record of 100% accuracy. His dedication to truth is so profound that he has never once had to issue a correction or a retraction. In the age of fake news, the work of WikiLeaks should be celebrated, not persecuted. The WikiLeaks founder, but of course we all know how governments behave towards leakers, is they persecute them as much as they possibly can because they want to yes. teach you a lesson that if you were to dare leak something about them, then the same fate may befall you as well. So they right. can't be protecting leakers because leakers, ultimately, all leakers do is make governments look bad. They don't leak information that makes the government look good. So, you know, they hate leakers. All governments everywhere, Republican, Democrat, you name it, they hate WikiLeaks.
Yes.
So going on, the founder entered the Ecuadorian embassy in June of 2012. He was soon granted political asylum, and the UK has long refused to acknowledge the findings of the UN Working Group on arbitrary detention, which found that Assange is being arbitrarily and unlawfully detained and must be immediately released without the threat of arrest and compensated. Unfortunately, the last we heard, the UK government has 24-hour police surveillance of the Ecuadorian embassy. So yes. there's
that still going on?
Which, again, is just a single flat Correct. Inside of an apartment building.
Right.
Most people, when they hear, you know, embassy, they think some big, huge, giant, elaborate complex of, like, you know, 47 acres.
No.
And, you know, like, big, huge marble buildings. No. He's in an apartment.
And he's on a cot in an apartment, from what I understand
right.
as well.
He can't go into the hallways.
WikiLeaks founder, let's see here. On a positive note, it says that Assange did seem to be in good spirits, especially considering his circumstances. He looked good, though thinner, and was as brilliant and sharp as ever. Despite the efforts from the U.S. and Ecuador to make his life a living hell, they haven't broken him yet. It's clearly a lot more difficult to break someone who knows how necessary and important their cause is. The freedom of speech and freedom to publish are rights that must be protected at all costs, and Assange's dissent does just that. And then there's the silly last sentence here. If President Donald Trump really wanted to show the world that he's committed to real news, he would end this witch hunt and allow Assange to get back to work. Which Trump did praise WikiLeaks during his campaign and now all of a sudden doesn't seem to care one iota about what's happening to
He praised WikiLeaks when they posted stuff about Democrats.
Specifically
and
the Hillary
Democrats
emails.
Have praised WikiLeaks when they've posted stuff about Republicans.
Right. But the persecution, of course, of Assange came during the Obama administration, and Trump has done absolutely nothing to
right.
change its direction. So that's your story. Assange doing all right, all things considered, but more monitored and observed now than ever by a sort of Orwellian, creepy Ecuadorian state. I mean, I guess if you're going to put yourself in the hands of a state for protection, you'd Gotta put up with whatever kind of crap they give you.
Yeah,
and at least they're feeding him.
Wasn't it, he must be still alive, right?
Yeah, he says he's looking all right.
Now, wasn't there a change in presidency or something? Is that
the Ecuador side,
Is that what happened as far as the change in treatment, or was it because of the statements that he made after the president changed?
I believe it had something to do with the presidential change, as far as maybe they're a little bit more trying to, you know, cozy up to the United States government now. Maybe this new president.
Yeah, this
which is
new
so
guy
weird.
Took office in May of 2017,
okay.
which seems to be about the same time that things started changing at the embassy, where they started restricting his internet access.
Right.
You think they would just force him out if they were sucking up, though?
Well, they haven't done that yet.
They can't because they've granted him asylum.
Could they not ungrant the asylum?
I mean, he's the president.
I don't know if that's allowed under international law.
Huh. I mean, this guy is probably, I mean, it's a corrupt country. I can't imagine that he doesn't have control and power to, you know,
Yeah, that's a good question. What can you do? I mean, Daryl, you're probably right, but what can you really
do? I mean, technically, but it doesn't stop the United States from, you know, breaking all sorts of, you know,
no doubt,
all sorts of other,
right,
you know,
but the United States is the enforcement arm of the United Nations.
We got more coming up here in moments. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. You can join us here and bring up anything you want. Next up, though, we are going to talk about software patents and why that's a terrible idea. And they might be coming back, which is not good. 855 450 free, like freedom. It's Free Talk Live.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com. If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition. The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynavite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Smart Cash is a peer-to-peer digital currency that is fast, secure, and easy to use. Smart Cash is building a foundation that can support daily transactions for people everywhere. One feature that sets Smart Cash apart is the Smart Hive governance model and how the community can vote to fund the best projects with block rewards stored in the Smart Hive project treasury. Unlike other cryptocurrencies with voting systems, Smart Cash allows everyone to participate. One smart equals one vote. Learn more at smartcash.cc.
There are basically two types of advertising, direct response and branding. Radio's great for direct response with its low cost-to-listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer-term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call the station. If you need national reach, Free Talk Live's got around 200 radio stations, millions of monthly listening sessions, can suit all budgets, and if we don't think we're right for you, we'll tell you. Email me, mark@freetalklive.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic. Safe. Effective. Even money-saving. Just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalent, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free and join us here. Our number is 855-453, 855-450-3733. Also, Free Talk Live now being brought to you by Smart Cash. Smart Cash is one of the newer cryptocurrencies on the scene, and they're doing some pretty unique and interesting stuff that makes them, of course, different from their many competitors. There are a lot of options in the world of cryptocurrency, and we don't know which one's going to dethrone Bitcoin, but there's a chance that something will someday, and it's hard to pick a winner, but you can look at some of the things that these guys are doing and realize they're doing something pretty unique. Check it out over at smartcash.cc. One of the things that I thought was really interesting about Smart Cash is their voting system that allows everyone holding Smart Cash to participate in voting. So unlike some of these voting systems where you have to have a certain amount of wealth in order to vote, Smart Cash allows you to do it with, you know, you got one smart, you got one vote. And right now, one smart is less than 2 cents. So it's not hard to get one smart. In fact, it might be hard to get one smart. If you're trying to buy smart on an exchange, you're probably going to have to place an order that'll get you a few of them.
Right.
So go to smartcash.cc. You can learn more about it there. They've also, and of course, you know, Smart Cash, like so many cryptos, is fast, secure, and it's easy to use. But they're building a foundation that can support daily transactions for people everywhere. And they've also got what's called smart rewards. So anybody with 1,000 smart, so less than $20 basically, right now, who knows what 1,000 smart's going to be worth a year from now, but for now, it's pretty affordable. Anybody with 1,000 smart, you hold on to the keys to your wallet, that means that you get, if you don't do any outgoing transactions on that wallet over basically a month's period of time, you'll get the smart rewards, which are distributed after every 47,500 blocks, and apparently that's roughly about a month's worth of time.
Yes.
So you can go to smartcash.cc, and Daryl, you and I think we're testing out the smart rewards this month, I believe, so it's probably later this month that we're going to know for sure whether those come through.
Correct.
Expecting that they will work just as they are promised. We'll certainly let you know once that happens. Go to smartcash.cc. You can learn more, and you can vote from the website. You can vote from their official wallets, too, by the way. So it doesn't take a whole lot to set up the voting. You just got to have a Smart Cash wallet and put 1,000, or no, not even 1,000, just one smart will allow you to cast a vote. So, of course, the more you have, the more voting power you have. So there is that. Smartcash.cc. As we go to your calls and thoughts, Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah.
Yes, I did bring up the facial recognition technology in bathrooms in China. The thing is, I want that for in America just to reduce our vandals, the bathroom vandals. Because they ruin the access to bathrooms for everybody. Once they destroy it and they demolish it, leave needles, I mean, just leave garbage. We have no.
So what do you want to see? You want to have somebody have to do an iris scan or a facial recognition scan in order to get access to a public bathroom?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And if they trash it...
Now, would it have to be on the front door of the bathroom, meaning that everybody walking through the door would have to be scanned?
So, I mean, however they do it. Is that how they
Well,
do
now,
it
hold on. We got to figure this out.
So it's currently not being done in the U.S., and Gene the Christian Anarchist, who travels to China a good bit, and is currently in China, called in last night, and we asked him about this.
Yeah.
Or he might have brought it up. I don't recall. But he said that most of the public restrooms in China, you actually have to take your own toilet paper with you.
That's true.
So this one particular place that Sarah's talking about, he said that he thinks they might be trying to get some tourist rating to wind up, being
Sarah's saying
more
she
of a,
wants this everywhere.
Right. But no, I'm pointing out that she's talking about some place in China as if it's everywhere in China. And Gene's saying he thinks it might only be one particular place.
I see.
And he doesn't even know where it is that she's talking about.
Okay.
But she
still
wants to bring this to the U.S.
So I want to talk about
how... she says she wants to do it however they're doing
it. That's what I want to talk
about. And nobody knows how they're doing it.
Well, but that's what we need to figure out, Sarah. It doesn't matter how they're doing it in China. The question is, how do you want to see it done here? And so there's a certain ways that you can do this. You can put a facial recognition camera inside the front door, outside the front door of the bathroom to record the face of everybody walking in. However, there's some problems that are going to come in. So if there's more than one person in the bathroom, because a lot of bathrooms, it's not just one stall, it's, you know, five stalls or whatever.
And not everybody's the same height, so you're going to have cameras at all kinds of heights.
Could be. I mean, it depends on how... It depends. So anyway, let's just presume it's one camera at the front door. You still don't know who did the vandalism.
Then short people and children can't go to the bathroom in Sarah's world.
It depends, Daryl. You can have a camera that's wide enough to see everybody coming through the door. And cameras are high resolution these days, so as long as it's not a tight shot in one particular place, you can see it. So let's just presume it's coverable by one camera. But then the problem is, Sarah, if it's a bathroom with more than one stall... You won't have any way of knowing who's doing what in the stalls unless you actually put cameras in the stalls. Now, is that what you're advocating?
This is so creepy.
Well, you know what? We could work out all of the details.
We're working them out right now. I'm asking you. You're in charge of this program. Do you put cameras in all of the stalls so you can ensure that nobody's writing graffiti inside the stalls or, you know, S-ing all over the place on purpose?
And do the pictures get automatically uploaded to YouTube or something?
That's another question. That's another good question.
Or Pornhub?
The thing is, you know what? My objective is that, you know what? Once they ruin it, nobody has access to public bathrooms.
I agree with you, Sarah. Nobody likes a dirty bathroom. Nobody wants to go in and see a bunch of garbage all over the place or fecal matter all over the place. It's disgusting. Everybody who's been in a park bathroom at a government park knows how bad these bathrooms can be. Am I right? Has everybody here been in a park bathroom at a government park?
Okay. Yeah, I've also been a janitor at Target, and I know how filthy and disgusting the women's room is because everybody hovers instead of actually sitting on the toilet seat.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. That's a whole other crazy level of conversation.
I'm still trying to figure out how poo gets on the walls.
And you're not the only person who's cleaned up in women's bathrooms and has had that problem. So that is not
above
a unique,
the handle. How's that happen?
That is not a unique problem, which is crazy. So, Sarah, are you saying you want to put cameras in each individual stall? Yes or no?
No, I want them to eliminate the stall. Each one would, like, maybe...
Oh, wow.
Each one.
So there'd be like five toilets and no wall between them?
Yeah, so you're saying there's no privacy. You want to have the ideal Sarah bathroom is you walk in, and as Daryl says, you can see all five toilets that are in there, and everybody's squatting or hovering or whatever it is that they do over the toilet. Is that what you're saying?
She wants to go back Roman style.
Well, no, I mean, if there's separate stalls, they should have a face recognition for separate stalls. They should be redesigned. But the thing is they need to ban...
But Sarah, listen, okay? Even if you did it outside of the stall, you still wouldn't know if that person was vandalizing inside of the stall because you wouldn't know the status of the stall. You would have to have a camera. You're not admitting it, but if what you want is to know whether somebody has committed vandalism inside a bathroom stall, there's only one way to know that. And that is to have a monitoring video device inside
each
stall.
Or a person in there.
Or an actual human being to inspect constantly after every single person leaves. Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. So whether you want to admit it or not, that's what you're calling for. Kind of creepy. More coming up.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You
USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky. Some federal workers not getting paid as the partial government shutdown starts week four. 800,000 workers not getting paid Friday. It's possible President Trump will declare a national emergency, but not yet.
Congress should do this. If they can't do it, if at some point they just can't do it, this is a 15-minute meeting. If they can't do it, I will declare a national emergency.
President Trump holding a roundtable Friday on border security at the White House, keeping pressure on Democrats.
We have a country that's being invaded by criminals and by drugs, and we're going to stop it. So I want the Democrats to come back to Washington and vote.
South Carolina Senator Republican Lindsey Graham tweeting, Mr. President, declare a national emergency now. Build a wall now. President Trump Monday will host the Clemson Tigers before he takes off for New Orleans. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, you dial in toll-free here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And don't forget, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. We have a Twitch channel, which means you can watch the show if you would like, over at twitch.lrn.fm. It's free, and it's another way for you to follow Free Talk Live and also some of the other great shows on the Liberty Radio Network, like The Call to Freedom, which is one of the shows that you are a host of, Chris.
That's right.
But you are also a host of your own show, which is Freedom Decrypted, over at freedomdecrypted.com. It is a libertarian tech show, or more of a tech show with a libertarian bend to it.
Yeah. Tech show with a libertarian slant.
Yeah, because you can't take the libertarians out of Freedom Decrypted, because it's ultimately the basis of the show.
No.
We do a lot of focus on techie stuff, so check him out there. You do have a podcast available now, so primarily it's a video show, but for those of you who don't want to sit and watch, you can download or use the RSS feed and subscribe to
Freedom. Yeah, it's mostly people talking, kind of like Free Talk Live style, so it's not like you're going to be bored if you listen to the show rather than watch
it. Now, do you remember when you're doing the show, now that you have an audio version, like if you're showing something on screen, do you remember to kind of describe, for those of you that are listening, it shows this chart looks like blah blah blah, you know?
I started doing it a little bit. I need to go back and edit or make some changes to some of, like, the we have a break period during the show,
mm-hmm.
and that's still just, it's audio, but there's no words to it. So I still have to go back and make a little bit of change there. But other than that, yeah, it's going to be...
Because there's a good chance that I'm just going to predict that a podcast viewer or downloadership will exceed a video viewership.
Yeah, probably.
Over time, just because it's a more convenient way for people to consume.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's only like a 30 to 45 second like break, so it's not like it's a really long period where there's no vocals going on. So
let's talk about patents here, Chris. You've got a story about the potential return, or maybe even likely return, of software patents. And I remember seeing in, you know, certain like softwares when they boot up, like at the loading screen of an Adobe software suite or something like that, it would list a bunch of patents. Is that what we're talking about? Are these, you know, what is a software patent?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that those patents are actually what have been undone or gotten rid of, so mm-hmm. to speak, in a 2014 Supreme Court ruling. But
so it wasn't long ago that these things were gotten rid of?
Yeah, basically.
Not entirely.
Not entirely, but right. It's...
I've got an article here from IP Watchdog, and they mention specifically about the patentability requires software to be unique. So just because you do something that nobody else has done with a computer doesn't mean that you can patent that.
Huh.
But if you do something that nobody else has ever done because no one else has ever thought of doing it, not that, you know, like, I just realized in Microsoft Excel I can do this particular thing where there's a functionality.
I see.
So it has to be something that is... unique. And it says here the unique requirement is a shorthand way of saying it must be novel and non-obvious.
It can't just be something traditionally that you do in the real world and then add with a computer to the end of it.
Yeah.
We're talking about coding. We're talking about coding here. Patenting code.
Yeah,
actual, that's what software is.
Yeah, pure code. I don't think that actually eliminated, like, for example, if there was a physical component, like a device, for example, mm-hmm. that, I don't know, maybe, you know, like maybe some sort of heartbeat device, you know, something like that, right? That, if there was software to it, that wouldn't necessarily mean that you couldn't patent that as a result of this case. But something like Amazon OneClick, as an example, that would not be patentable because it's a pure software thing. There's no...
I don't know what a one-click
well,
is.
Well, one-click is also something that is kind of obvious, right? So this says that the unique requirement, in order to be unique, it must be novel and non-obvious. So with one-click, if you've got Amazon Prime, or even if you don't have Amazon Prime, but you have saved your shipping and credit card information on Amazon, instead of clicking Add to Cart... purchase, continue, verify credit card. Yeah. You just click one button that says purchase with one click. And then it just goes through the next five steps automatically.
Because it already has the information.
You're saying that could not be patented.
Right, under the 2014 case. But I think even prior to that, that might have actually been thrown out.
Right, because I don't think that would be considered novel and non-obvious. It's how do we make this checkout thing more efficient? We save information.
So, yeah, I mean, the story is from Ars Technica, and it's going to get into that a little bit.
Me.
So,
please.
So, yeah, so basically, there's a new rule narrows landmark 2014 Supreme Court decision limiting software patents. So that was the good decision that we wanted, so we don't have these absolutely ridiculous, absurd patents hindering, basically, software development.
Mm-hmm.
Software development, you still have copyright, so it's not like the patents were really adding value. It was just kind of, you know, it's just preventing somebody else from doing their own implementation of something that was already, in most cases, obvious.
Okay.
And it's really been understood in the software world that you could copyright code, but you couldn't patent code. So it's because it ultimately software breaks down to numbers. And am I describing this right, Daryl?
Well, so I've pulled up the Ars Technica article from 2014 about this landmark court ruling. where it says the court unanimously ruled that simply adding computer language to a basic idea was not patentable. Right. They didn't say you can't patent code. They didn't say you can't patent software. They said just by taking something and putting it on a computer doesn't meet the definition of unique. It's not novel. It's not non-obvious. You just added a computer.
So if you were going to mail something, for example, like electronic mail, doesn't just because it's electronic doesn't make it unique, right? We've already got the concept of sending messages you know, through a system. And so just by adding the word with a computer to it doesn't matter.
Right. So they didn't get rid of all computer patents. They didn't get rid of all software patents.
Right.
They just got rid of a specific...
Right. So compression patents related to software compression are or like videos and stuff like
that. MP4,
yeah,
MP4,
that's MP3. Still that would still be valid. All those patents are still going to be valid.
I see.
It's basically clicking on a button on the screen that's not going to be patentable.
So this is sort of an arbitrary, you know, distinction here, because, I mean, ultimately we are still talking
about
coding.
It's all arbitrary.
I mean, because if you think about the difference between, and look, I'm no IP attorney or anything like that, but, you know, normally the difference between copyright and patent would be, copyright was like a creation of, like, a music or a movie or, a, you know, some sort of
TV
audio,
show,
video,
a book.
Book writing, that kind of thing,
art.
Like a creation like that. Whereas a patent was always sort of an invention, a doodad, a thing.
Right. And basically they're saying you can copyright it, but you can't patent it.
But the thing with code is it sort of does both of those things, right? Because when you're coding, you're writing. But the code is also kind of an invention because you're creating a thing that does a thing. Right?
Yeah, it's ultimately the problem is you can't come. It comes down to you can't or you weren't supposed to be able to patent algorithms. Okay, and unfortunately that's kind of been messed up by you know how the courts have ruled. But the 2014 decision somewhat narrowed it down so we don't have as much of the garbage patents out there in the software world.
Yeah, I would be interested in hearing a specific example. I mean, I know we've been just sort of spitballing it here, but like a specific example of a thing that
let me read
would
the story
have been patentable before 2014, but now would not have
there's
been
gonna
patentable.
There's going to be examples here. I'm sure I don't recall, but I'm pretty sure that there is. So the story is from Ars Technica, and it's here. This part is I'm going to start off with. But this week, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office proposed new rules that would make it easier to patent software. If those rules take effect, it could take us back to the bad old days when it was easy to get broad software patents and to sue companies that accidentally infringe them.
Would an example of this be the stupid suits against the podcasters? Do you remember those stories where there were certain big podcasters like Adam Carolla who got sued by some patent troll?
Probably, yeah.
That was like, well, you can't do an RSS feed because we came up with that idea of automatic delivering a thing to a place.
Yep, yep.
More coming up here in moments. 855, 453, and they lost, by the way. There's more coming up.
Mm.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two. Get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design, right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay Heating Pads and pillows are often an Amazon top choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Maybe enough time for you if you want to get on the line now. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. And we'll continue here talking about software patents, and there may be some rules coming that might make it so more things can be patented than previously could. There was an overturning of some of that in 2014, but now maybe there's going to be an overturning of the overturning, and we'll get a little bit further into it here in a moment. Don't forget to visit us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have on the site for you. They are completely free. So once again, that's freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones, though, to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, this case is turning out to be rather fun, the one against the university radio station. I was spending some taxpayer dollars the other day talking to my public defender.
You were arrested after calling a university radio station show after being told to not call that show. They then arrested you for essentially telephone harassment. Go ahead.
Right. And so I was having this discussion with the public defender, and it seems that the one and only reason that they barred me from, that they stated right in the police report, the complaint, and the officer recited in the criminal complaint when he filed charges, the one and only complaint about me was that I was only interested in talking about one topic, which was the trafficking of my children. And it occurred to me that Sarah also calls into that university program, always has, still does. And if you go back, you know, for instance, a year or so, Sarah was pretty much interested in red light cameras and speed bans and pedestrian fatalities.
Still is.
All kind of, yeah, right. And so I thought it would be fun, or the lawyer and I thought it might be fun to use the various recordings available, some of them being in the Free Talk Live archives of Sarah, and other ones being on the KUNM radio station, the call-in program, Let's Talk New Mexico, KUNM being on their own archives, as well as the ones from when she calls into the other radio stations here locally, to demonstrate that, or let the jury decide how diverse Sarah's calls are as compared to, you know, the my recorded calls that KUNM might have.
So this is going to a jury?
Well, if it goes to trial, you know, if they don't say uncle, it'll be fun going to trial.
Is this a misdemeanor charge?
Yeah, it's a full misdemeanor. It's not a petty misdemeanor.
So you're facing jail time on this.
Right, yeah,
okay.
Potentially.
Will you get a jury of 12 in New Mexico?
I don't know. I don't know how many they use. I don't think they use 12. It's probably a lesser amount, like 6 or 9. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. But if it goes to trial, it'll be fun to, you know, bring in those recordings and let them listen to my choice of topic compared to Sarah's choice of topic.
Won't that be irrelevant?
I agree. That's what I'm thinking.
There's no look. Just because they have arbitrary rules for who they want to call into the show, I don't think is something that you could base a defense on. But then again, I'm not your attorney,
The criminal complaint itself states the reason why we don't want David Olson calling our program is he's only interested in a very narrow range of topics. Mm-hmm. But we love Sarah, and Sarah can call in anytime we want. Another fun aspect of this is
Sarah?
I doubt that. I think you added that in, doesn't it? The complaint doesn't actually
mention. Does the complaint actually mention Sarah?
No, but I have a right to mount my own defense, and part of my own defense is entering into evidence, my own evidence, and then subpoenaing
witnesses.
Okay,
so you've proven that they're arbitrary in their rulemaking as far as you not calling in. However, that doesn't mean that they don't have the ability to tell you to not call in. The only question that I think that really needs to be answered here is whether or not you have the right to call a publicly funded radio show. I mean, that was what you originally had called and was your main objection, was that this university is receiving government money, and so therefore you should be able to call into the show. To me, that seems like a stronger argument.
That's definitely a stronger argument.
And I wish you the best with that, and please feel free to update us on the case as it goes along. I am curious to know how this pans out, because it is, from that perspective, it's an interesting case, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this show isn't a publicly run show. So if I want to arbitrarily ban one person over another, then there's no saying, you know, one way or the other on that. But if public funding does matter, then maybe it will matter. So I don't know. Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it. So we were talking about software patents, and you've got some a little bit of history on.
Yeah. So how the courts legalized then limited software patents is probably where we should start.
From Ars Technica.
Yeah, from Ars Technica. The courts have long held that patents can't claim abstract ideas or laws of nature, and until the 1990s, courts held that most software patents were attempts to claim a mathematical algorithms, a kind of abstract idea.
Hmm.
And this is what I was talking about.
Because there's math behind every word in
every
a program.
Every program breaks down to math.
Right. Zeros and ones.
That word algorithm.
This, then that.
Right. But a series of federal circuit court rulings gradually watered down this rule. By the turn of the century, there were a few meaningful limits to patenting software. The result was a proliferation of patents that soon turned into a proliferation of software-related patent litigation.
Of course.
The Supreme Court had largely given the federal circuit a free hand to develop this area of the law in the 1990s and early 2000s. But then the High Court started to check the lower court's work, and it didn't like what it found. In 1996, a team of teaching at a teaching hospital in Montreal found that the correct dosage for a certain drug could be partially determined by measuring metabolites in the bloodstream and publishing the results of its research. While the scientific finding couldn't be patented directly, a company called Prometheus Laboratories saw a patent on the concept of drawing the patient's blood, measuring the level of metabolites, and then providing a diagnosis based on the research. They argued that this
so
was a patent.
They wanted to patent something that was completely not unique and had nothing to do with a creation of an idea.
They argued that this was a patent on a process, not an abstract idea.
Right, so the idea of measuring metabolites and figuring out the correct dosage of medicine, not patentable. But oh, we've created a formula that does that thing, mm-hmm. so we think we can patent that.
And the judge said no.
The patent office bought this argument, but the Supreme Court didn't. In a 2012 court ruling called Mayo vs. Prometheus, the Supreme Court ruled that the patent was claiming the law of nature itself and adding nothing truly inventive. From this emerged a two-part test for patentability. Here the MEP summary of what is often now referred to as the Mayo-Alice test. The first part of the Mayo test is to determine whether the claims are directed to an abstract idea, a law of nature, or a natural phenomenon. If the claims are directed to a judicial exception,
that's the natural phenomenon.
The second part of the Mayo test is to determine whether the claim recites additional elements that amount to significantly more than the judicial exception. The Supreme Court
has described. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. All right. So if the thing that you are trying to patent is a natural phenomenon, that's what they refer to as the judicial exception here. It makes sense if you have the text in mm-hmm. front of you. Then they have to determine whether you're doing something in addition to the natural phenomenon that you've found a way to compute.
Okay. So back to software. In 2014, the Supreme Court ruled on the case of Alice for CLS Bank regarding a stock computer on which is loaded software to facilitate trades with a third-party intermediary. Their opinion directly applied the Mayo test, like the research result with a blood test tacked on. The technical details of the Alice software patent were really just a fig leaf over a claim on an abstract concept, i.e. with a computer. So,
right. So like what a lot of people now, and I realize I'm going to catch some flack for saying this, what a lot of people now are saying, we should just slap this on a blockchain and then mm-hmm. it's different. No, it's the same stupid thing. You're just putting stupid thing on a blockchain.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's basically, it's pretty much sums it up.
It's not novel just because you've automated it.
Okay. I follow what you're saying there, Daryl. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's let's see here.
And so then, now they're talking about making the basic like stuff you're talking about legal again, the patent.
Yeah, so
well, the patent office has proposed some new rules.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not been a court ruling. These haven't even been passed by Congress.
They wouldn't have to, right? They're just rules by bureaucracy.
Well, they've not even gone to the public comment period. They're okay. just saying, "Hey, we've got an idea," and they posted the idea online.
Which would counter the 2014 court ruling, basically, if these ideas
Well, it's
forward.
A fairly lengthy summary, and I don't even know where to begin.
I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
Check out Freedom Decrypted tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and you can hear more about the story.
All right, cool. Yeah, check them out at freedomdecrypted.com, and we'll see you tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime. But yes, rest assured, we all agree, patents, all of them, bad.
It's like 60 page.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely stay away from that. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in.
Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.